Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Well, I'm glad to be with you all here today, and I thank God for Brother Hogan and the church here in North Hogan. And I'm just delighted to be here in the presence of some good brethren, good sisters in Christ. Brother Joe Brothers, I got to meet him several years ago when I was out there beating the drums about education. And he heard about me and called me up, and then he even brought the head man to Louisville to sit down with us in our Family Life Center. And we got to talking about charter schools and the need for alternative education for our children, and particularly now, some of you all, y'all's children are doing pretty good. I know they are. Y'all's children, but see, y'all don't live down in the inner city, okay? See, it's tough down in the inner city. Ministries are tough business today. You know, in our church neighborhood, 81% of the children in that neighborhood do not read at grade level. See, there's tough territory in inner city ministry. You know, I tell folk all the time, you don't need to go sending missionaries all over the world. The missionaries are in the inner city. Amen. Right here in the United States of America. Because there's stuff going on. Y'all saw that stuff going on in Baltimore? Man, we need to send missionaries to Baltimore. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? See, I know what time of day it is. Ain't got nothing to do with racism. It's got everything to do with folk that can't read, can't get a job. Because they can't even fill out an application. Those are the struggles that we're faced with. I am thankful that this congregation has decided to reach out to its community. Now, I know this is the second year that you're doing this, and you're saying, man, is it going to work? Man, it's going to work. You got to keep doing it. You got to keep pushing this because if you don't touch your community, the church is not good. You know, churches are dying. Did y'all know that? Churches are dying because they don't get out there and touch their community. I thank God that you all, I talk like this because, see, Brother Hogan, I get chewed up every which way down there in Louisville. Am I right about that, brothers? Amen. They chew me up. I'm a part of the conversation in the church and out of the church. Amen. Everybody talk about this preacher. Because, you know, we do things in the Midwest congregation that folk dream about and folk are scared to even get out there and do. We get out and touch our community. Every single day we're out there. We're a 24/7 church. We got our members talking about, why don't y'all give this building a vacation? Amen. Because we're open all the time. We're out there touching our community. We feed people every single day. We get in and we have those little bad kids coming in. Amen. But we just got to have folk there to watch them. And that's the kind of thing we do, is get out there, touch our community. Brother Hogan, thank you for the vision, brother. Because the Bible says where there is no vision, the people will perish. This congregation won't perish. Because you've got a vision, brothers and sisters. And I hope and trust. Now see, let me tell you something. Don't turn it into yours. Let it be God's vision. Okay? Let this be God's vision and get in God's way. I always say, only thing I want to do is get in God's way. Because God's going somewhere. God is always going somewhere. And all I want to do is get up under his wings. So I'll be able to know what to do. Now, y'all have never heard me preach. Y'all don't know nothing about me. And that's why I'm giving you a little exposition. So, And I'm no, and y'all scared and don't know what to expect. Just like I'm scared of y'all and I don't expect know what to expect out of y'all. So I'm just loosening this all up right now. Amen. Praise be unto God. Well, Brother Hogan has given me a topic in this series, and thank you for caring enough to invite me to be a part. Experiencing God through worship in spirit and in truth. That's the topic that I've signed to the lesson that I'm going to give you today that was assigned to me. I hope I've learned how, I know how to use this Mac well enough. And so today I'm going to open up and read a few scriptures found in the book of John, the 4th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, I trust that you do, open up to the book of John, the 4th chapter, and I'll begin reading. I should have said the 19th verse. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Now, y'all get that now. That underline that, because that's going to mean something to you in just a moment. He says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And so is the reading from the book of the Lord. We look at the context of this story. Jesus ministers to this woman, she finds herself under deep conviction of her sins. She realizes that she has a desperate need to get right with the Lord, and that she needs a time of personal worship in her life with the Lord God Almighty. She perceives that Jesus is a prophet, and supposes that he might be able to help her understand when, where, and how she might be able to get right with God. Although her intentions were admirable, her concept of worship was flawed. She, like millions of others in our world today, thought that worship had to take place in a certain place, at a certain time, and in a certain manner. However, Jesus clears up her misunderstanding at the same time, shares one of his greatest truths with this woman. He teaches her that genuine worship cannot be regulated or isolated to a single place or to some process that man comes up with to worship. Many people have that ideal in worship today. Some people feel that worship is something you can do in church and that it can only be done there. Some think that worship is going to a church and sitting quietly while religious exercises are conducted. That concept is about a million miles away from the truth, and as far as this woman was when she was trying to talk to Jesus about the worship of her people. Some folk think that they can go to church and when they go and they sing and they hear a little preaching, they testify and start shouting a little bit, they think they shown up in the worship. Well, I come to tell you, that's not necessarily worship. Some folk get to feeling so good, and they begin to say, man, we sang, Lord, we had us a time. We had us a time so much that the preacher didn't even have time to preach. Something wrong with that kind of worship. God, because God put preaching in the worship. And when you are doing so much else that you leave out parts of what God had put into his worship, something wrong with us. But let me remind all of us today that God has his way, that he has ordained man to worship, and it behooves us to allow God to be the center of our worship. You know, the word worship comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word worth-ship. It literally means to attribute or ascribe worth to someone. It ascribes the idea of declaring the objects of worship as being worthy of honor. The Greek word in the New Testament is most often translated worship, gives us the word reverence, a kiss of hand to one in token of their reverence and the homage that we give to a great authority. I come to tell you that if anybody deserves our reverence and our homage, that is the great God of heaven who gave us the only begotten Son of the Father, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Two things I want to share with you from the context of this lesson. One, and I hope I hit it right. Nope, that ain't right. That ain't right. There it is. Hit the right one. Genuine worship must coincide with the truth of who God is. And God reveals himself through his nature. Well, what does this mean? What does it mean when I say that it must be in God's nature? Well, first of all, and when we recognize God, God gives his people a sense of repentance. God put within man a need. This woman, look at what this woman. You know, you when you look at this woman and she came before Jesus, she had a conversation, but she had really what she needed was a sense of repentance. The woman knew she was out of order with God. That's why she began to talk to Jesus. But our fathers say we worship in this mountain, but the Jews say we worship in Jerusalem. So she had a sense that she was out of order. But not only was she out of order with her worship, but she was out of order with her life. And you know what? Folk know when they're out of life. You know, you don't need to go and tell folk they out of order with their life. You know that? You know, a lot of times we want to say, well, you got to get up there and repent. Men, they already know they need to repent. You don't need to tell and beat somebody over the head. They already know. They don't feel like they ought to feel. They got something on the inside that God has given to us that makes us understand that we without having a close, pure relationship with God, we're out of order. So, when we reach out to people, we don't need to go and try to make them feel bad about you a whoremonger, you a drunkard, you a lesbian, you a homosexual. That gets me in trouble in Louisville. I want y'all to know that. I'm in safe territory up here. Am I right about that? I'm all right with that? Amen. I'm in safe, but I get in trouble back home when I talk like that, okay? But I come to tell you, you know, folk know they're out of order. The scripture says over there in the book of Psalms, the second division, it says, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Why? Because they have taken counsel against God and against his anointed. There are folk, Brother Hogan will beat your head up by you coming and talking to them about their condition in their life. They'll get mad at you. They're not really mad at you. They're really mad at God, but they're going to take it out on you. Amen. Somebody say amen if you can. Now, y'all need to loosen up. Now, I'm used to a few amens. Praise the Lord. You know, but. Repentance. You know, David, the first king, the second king of Israel, David recognized from the very beginning repentance needed to be a part of his life. He knew, it took Nathan, the prophet, to come and bring it to his mind. But see, he knew that thing wasn't right in the beginning. Nathan didn't have to beat him over the head. He knew he had done wrong, trying to hide, and you can't hide it. That's why he wrote Psalms 51, create in me, O God, a clean heart. And you know what he says? And then, when you create a clean heart in me, then will I go and teach sinners and bring sinners from their ways. My brothers and sisters, not only is the nature of God demonstrated in our repentance, but it is also demonstrated in our submissiveness. Job, in the first chapter of Job, when the storms had taken everything, even his children, Job, he didn't get up and fuss and cuss at God. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, Job had a sense of submissiveness. And you know, a person that will not submit themselves, you know, in this day and age, you know, I've had young women. The words done got out. Ain't no need of fooling with him because he ain't gonna do it no way. In my marriage ceremonies, sister, now I know. I know you don't have no problem with it because you did this. In the marriage ceremony, he's talking about submitting to your husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't like that word in this new age. Women don't like that word today. Have they told you take it out of yours yet? Out of your marriage? Don't put that one. We don't need that in there. Yes, we do, honey. You know we do. You know, but you know, I tell the brethren that you know we miss verse 22. We like verse 23. But we miss verse 21, rather. We miss verse 21. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. Huh? Yeah. So men are to be submissive too. Oh, my goodness gracious. I always tell folk, if you love your wife right, and she'll be glad to be submissive to you if you love them. If you love them the way Jesus loved the church. Amen. Walls and electric lights. Job showed a sense of repentance. And then, you know, God has a nature of devotion. A nature of devotion. One of the things we saw Abraham do in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And God told Abraham, now Abraham, I want you to go up there and sacrifice your son. I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son, the son that you love. I want you to sacrifice him. You know what Abraham did? He got on up. You know what he did? He went and worshiped God. And that's what gave him the strength. He built that altar. He worshiped before God, and then he was able to go and do what God asked him to do. One of the things that we've got to learn to do is that men need to learn to worship. But you know what men need to learn to do? They need to learn what genuine worship is all about. They've got to learn to worship in the truth. They've got to learn that genuine worship must be centered in the Spirit. Without that, without a comprehensive understanding of that, man really can't move. The first thing that a person must do, the journey begins with a person being born again. Everything begins there. Nicodemus come to Jesus in the 3rd chapter of the book of John. And he says to him, and y'all in John chapter 3. John 3 says, what? In verse number 1, the Bible says what, Brother Joe? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Read. And the same came to him that night. Now, I could spend a long time talking about he coming to him at night, but I'm not going to. Go ahead and read. And he said, Rabbi, he said, now listen, them crooks knew that Jesus was right. Huh? They knew Jesus was right, man. Those rascals, they knew Jesus was who he said he was, but they wasn't going to do it. You know why? Because they didn't have a heart of repentance. They didn't have a heart of submissiveness, and they didn't have a heart of true worship. So there wasn't no way they were going to come and acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ, because then they have to throw away their dungeons and start walking under the cloth of Jesus. They weren't going to do that. He said, we know you come from, because could nobody do what you do except you come from God. But let's see what Jesus said. See, but now, Jesus don't get impressed. See, that's why, brothers, I don't get impressed when folks start calling, oh man, you got it. See, I know they don't mean nothing. Because what we've got to come to understand is Jesus wasn't impressed by him acknowledging, calling him rabbi. He wasn't impressed with all of that, those titles. He says, now, except you be a man, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You want to know why folk can't see that God's got one church? Because they haven't been born again. Jesus already done told us. They cannot see the kingdom of God because it starts with being born again. Nicodemus shows how lost he was. He says, can a man be born, put in his mama's womb the second time? Now that's the question, that's the kind of thing my grandbaby would ask me. She's asking me all the time, Granddaddy, when am I going to be able to get saved? I want to go to heaven. I said, baby, you are already in heaven. It's just when you're going to get big, then you'll have to come to Jesus. But right now, you're all right. You're all right. What we've got to come to understand that you know, if you don't get born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And he says that a man must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there is absolutely nothing a person can do if they fail not to be born again and obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother Hogan, this point right here, do y'all hear me? I'm going to take more time on this than I am on anything. You see, we fought a big battle over the years. There are people that are leaving the Church of Christ because they'll tell you in a minute, I was baptized. Do I have to be baptized in the Church of Christ? Y'all, if you all would open up your building right now without baptizing folk, you have this place filled up. Folk just don't want to be baptized. They don't want you to say that we have to be rebaptized. They'll tell you, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for our sin. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe that, and that's the gospel. We have a young man, Sister McGill. Well, listen to me, all right. She probably knows him, a young man down there that grew up in our congregation. He's now a big shot in the denominational world. Frank Smith Jr. Frank Smith Jr., he's big time in the denominational world. He ain't growing no church, but he's big time in their world. He's a doctor now, and he's got all that. I told him down in our basement, because he was down there trying to tell me and some others that you don't have to be in the Church of Christ to obey the gospel. You can obey the gospel, and that's what people want to know. Well, I'm going to tell you all something. If we can't put the church in the heart of the gospel, then our message cannot be convicted. And let me show you what I mean by that. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person obeys that, if a person believes that, if a person repents and confesses that Jesus is the Christ and is baptized, then that's all people say that you need. And the truth of the matter is, that's true. You don't have to tell them about this, that, and the other. Obey the gospel. And when I was confronted with that, with one of the great modern theologians of our generation who was solid in the scripture, he calls me to have to think. And this was a member of the church, a strong member of the Church of Christ. He says, Brother Stevenson, you got to think about this now. So I had to go, Brother Hogan, and I had to find where, how do I get the church in the heart of the gospel? And so I had to go to the scripture. When you take a person being born again, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to what? Fulfill. Jesus, in the beginning of time, put a law in this world, and it's called the law of birth. The law of birth means, first of all, there is a law of marriage. The law of marriage between one man and one woman. Y'all believe that down up here? Y'all believe that now? Amen. Somebody better say amen or I have to preach on it. One man and one well man. Now, and the law of birth says, in the marriage, the woman takes the male egg, male seed, and the female egg coming together to make a child. Is that what y'all's Bible say? That's the law of birth. And I don't care how sweet some of these low-down men walk around here talking about, yeah, God made me like this. I know one thing, they are not going to carry no baby. You ain't designed. Ain't no man designed to carry a child. Y'all see where I'm going, don't you? Huh? The law of birth. It takes a female, a woman, to give birth to a child. Brother Hogan, you know where I'm going, don't you? Well, I come to tell you, I'm trying to put the church in the heart of the gospel. Jesus said that a man must be born again. If you're going to get born, then it's going to take a male seed and a female womb to bring birth to the child of God. Jesus didn't come to tear down the law of birth. In the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, it says that Sarah is the new Jerusalem and she is the mother of us all. I read in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, that the church is Jesus' bride. Oh, y'all got me now. Are you with me, brothers? Are you with me now? Okay, when I read over there in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, I find that there was a woman who was given birth. Oh, yes. Yes, there ain't but one woman that's going to give birth to Jesus' children, and that's his church. My brothers and sisters, we better understand we've got this. We've got the truth. And we can stand on it. The Church of Christ is right. You must be born again. And it does matter where you get baptized. Because it takes the bride. When a woman gives birth, before that child comes, y'all got children? Y'all got children? Sister, when you was ready to give birth to that child, what happened? That water bag broke, didn't it? Amen. Amen. I ain't had none, but I'm told what has happened. Amen. Water bag broke. You sisters say amen if I'm telling the truth. Amen. All right. Now see, and then when that water bag busts, up comes that little bundle of joy. When the church takes a sinner down into the heart of that water, And brings that, bust that water up, bringing that child of God out of there. See, he becomes a newborn babe in Christ Jesus. Tell me that the church ain't right. The church is right, y'all. I can preach it when they like it, and I can preach it when they don't like it. Amen, walls and electrolyte. You must be born again. And you must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the second thing. A genuine believer must yield his life to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. My brothers and sisters, it is the Spirit of God within us. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ liveth with me in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God who gave himself for me. My brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God must be within us. I got to quit. My time is almost gone, and I, I got to hurry him and quit. The next speaker is here, and he's ready to go. All right, got 5 minutes. Third, our thoughts must be centered on God. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto him. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, what Jesus come to do is change the way you think. When you used to say, I'll smack your head, the Bible says, no, I'm going to let love win out now. Huh? I'm going to let love, you know, love will win in the end. And what we've got to do is allow our thinking. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippi, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, he says, do what? Think. Think on these. If you start thinking right, you get your life right. Paul, to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, after he says that we stay in verse 17 through about verse 20 or 21, he begins to talk about our living in our old way of life, thinking like the Gentiles. But he says now, around verse 25, that you are now to be thinking like Jesus. And what we've got to come to understand is that God wants us to think like Jesus. If you have, how does Jesus think? Go over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm wrapping up. I ain't got but two more things to go. Amen. I'll be through here in a couple minutes. The next speaker will be on time. I promise you, he'll be on time. He says in verse number, what did I tell you? Philippians chapter 2. Start reading that verse. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, what does it say? If a comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, the like-minded. Now, see that like-minded? He says what? Having the same what? Love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the others better than themselves. Look not on the things that are of your own, but look also on the things of others. And then he concludes in verse 5, he said, let this mind. He says, you want to know how to be like Jesus. You know, my definition, I tell them all the time at church and Midwest. I tell them all the time, I said, my definition of a Christian is that it is a daily struggle trying to be like Jesus. Boy, it ain't easy trying to be like Jesus now. Amen. Because when I want to do good, evil is always present. The good that I would do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Whew. Who can save us from this wickedness? I thank God that through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. My brothers and sisters, I wish I had more time, but I don't. You don't. We must have an undivided heart. We must have a repented heart. And the sixth thing is this. We must worship God in the right place. I want you all to look. I told you all to underline verse 22. Because you see, some folk think, man, you ain't got to be in Church of Christ to worship. Well, I'm here to tell you, you better think about this. In verse 22, Jesus started talking to this woman. He says, what? John 4:22. What does it say? He said, you worship. You say, you don't know. You're worshiping, but you don't know. It's not right. But look at what he says. We worship for the worship is with the Jews. Jesus was letting this woman know the Jews are right. Jerusalem is the place. Hello. The 21st chapter of the book of Revelation is the 21st chapter. Yes, it is. He says, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, adorned as a bride from heaven. Somebody tell me. Somebody ought to say amen with that. Man, we're still worshiping in Jerusalem, folks. Jerusalem is still the place to worship, but it's not the Jerusalem over there in the Middle East. It is the new Jerusalem, you and me, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I know I'm putting a lot on you, but I want you to understand. Y'all told me to come and preach the gospel and preach the church, didn't you? Well, I come to set the church right. You are right. You are God's bride. Oh, yeah. We need to tell the world that. The church is all right. It does matter where you worship. Worship. Jesus said, the Jews are right. I come to tell you Christians are right. When we say we worship in Jerusalem. God bless you. If you're here today, you're not a part of this born-again church, I come to tell you, you got to be, it starts with being born again. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. You've got to be washed. Somebody says, I don't want no water. Well, you got to be washed. Not by physical water that will not cleanse it'll just clean the outside, but it won't clean the inner side. Regeneration. You need the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You need to be saved, and baptism will save you. Washing of water with the word will cleanse you. Being baptized in the Spirit, the one Spirit, will put you into the one body, which is the Church of Christ of the Bible. I come to tell you today, you need to be there. You need to be there as we stand and sing the song of invitation. If you stand ready, you come right now as we sing this song.